All right, lesson number 16. We're going to continue here. We kind of worked our way through the first three verses and didn't answer all questions, but sort of give you a little bit of a summary. Keep in mind now what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here, and I think it's very appropriate that we understand what he's wrestling with, because as I've shared with you, this is a letter to Californians. It's not just to the Corinthians, it's to the Californians, because we face so many of the same kind of issues. But keep in mind now, what's going on here? There's been problems in this church. There's a lot of divisiveness, spiritual pride. There's problems, and people are just not dealing with it. So here Paul, he wrestles with a lot of these particular issues. Now he gets into chapter 12, and remember how I explained that to you. Chapter 12 starts now about, our translation says spiritual gifts. But the word there, really, gifts isn't even in the original Greek. It says, I want now about spirituality. That's what he's talking about spirituality. I do not want you to be ignorant. Because there is a problem that's been going on in this church. And the problem has to do with the fact that these Corinthians were so, obsessed with their giftedness. And especially, as we'll see in chapter 14, the gift of tongues. And so, keep in mind how Paul's working on this. He's, first of all, he introduces the whole idea of spirituality and what gifts are, lays a theological foundation, talks about, it's not about gifts, it's about the fruit of the Spirit, what chapter 13 is all about. If I speak the tongue of men and nations who have not love, okay, so that's the important thing in chapter 13. Then he gets into, now let's talk about the issue of the problem. So we're kind of working our way toward that end, but we got to keep in mind now, what's he dealing with in terms of spirituality? So in these opening verses, just kind of highlight a few things. Paul is really looking at four very important principles. Let me just kind of summarize it. Paul does not want the believers to be ignorant of true spirituality, okay? And true spirituality has to do with a spiritual life in which Jesus is Lord. Remember how he talked about this? He says, that when you were pagan somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And he says, mute idols. Led to that. And what we realize is a lot of times, as believers, we will go toward idols, or we will want to reshape God fit comfortably into our lifestyle. And that's the sad thing that often happens with Christians. We like a God who's really happy with us the way we are. We don't want him pointing out in our life because, well, after all, we have to protect our self-image. Got to have the self-image. But anyway, he's saying, look, I don't want that to happen. He says, therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And keep that thought in mind, too, that God does not want his, first of all, God does not want his church to be ignorant of the purpose of spiritual gifts. But he also wants us to know that this whole concept of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit does not degrade Jesus in any way. Remember what we're reminded of in the 16th chapter of John. I'll just summarize it. In the 16th chapter of John, Jesus reminds the people that the Holy Spirit is not there to exalt himself. The Holy Spirit is there to exalt Jesus. So anytime that, that there is some kind of disparaging or even a conflict, and sometimes we've heard this in some theologies where, some people have advocated that, well, Jesus came and he gave salvation. Now what you need is the Holy Spirit so that you can now, live and do the mighty works and mighty gifts and so forth. Now you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Well, you have to understand something. That's not what this chapter is teaching at all. It's basically saying it's not about the Holy Spirit. It's about Jesus. Okay? So, here are, again, when the Holy Spirit controls a Christian, he's not carried away out of control as seeking, other idols, then the Holy Spirit does not exalt himself, but exalts Christ as Lord. He does not depreciate Christ or his work. So it's kind of what we're looking at the first three verses. Having said that, now let's look at verses 4 through 6. I want us to work through this and see how you guys did with your answers here. Now, listen to what he says. So he's dealing with, what does it mean to be spiritual? Spirituality has to do with Jesus being the Lord of your life. Now let's looking at spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. Now he uses the word gifts, okay? But the same Spirit. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, let's take a peek at this. Now, verse 7 I'm going to include as well. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So, we look at verses 4 through 6. Let's see what you guys did here. What three distinctions does Paul make regarding the functioning of these gifts? What are three things that you found here?
Service and working.
Okay, you've got gifts, okay? Now, what does he tell you about those gifts?
Different kinds.
There's different kinds, right? And we're going to look at here, shortly here, in this chapter, there's nine different gifts here, but there's this nine different gifts, but they're different. Go ahead, Howard.
From different sources, but they serve a single purpose.
Okay, I think you got that twisted a little bit. Now, where is the source? Not different sources, there's only one source. What is it?
Holy Spirit.
Okay, there's different kinds of gifts. But he's saying there's the same Spirit, okay? Now, what's the second term he uses in there? There's different kinds of what?
Service.
And what you need to understand about service is that is the area in which these gifts are being used. Okay? But now, notice the shift here. What's the same here? Same Lord, right? And he goes and he says there's different kinds of what?
Workings.
And the word workings there is the energeia. It's the energy. It's the power. It's the effect of that particular gift. Now, watch this, because remember what Paul is basically saying. Look, it's not about a gift, but you've got to see how God works. Now, for instance, so let's just say I have been given the gift of evangelism. Okay, so I have a gift of evangelism. There's another famous person that has a gift of evangelism, and his name is Billy Graham. Now, it's interesting. So I have the gift of evangelism. Billy Graham has a gift of evangelism. But now we're going to look at this, and we're going to say, okay, but now what happens? There's different kinds of service. So Billy Graham has his area in which he uses his gift, and I have my area in which I use my gift. So here I look at me using my gift, and you know, every couple weeks I may share Christ with somebody, someone comes to the Lord. Oh, I'm thrilled. All of a sudden, here comes Billy Graham, he comes into LA or Anaheim Stadium, wherever he is, and he's preaching, and thousands come to Jesus Christ. Now, you notice there's a difference here. I have the same gift, but it's used in different areas, and the energeia, the effect of it, is different, even though it's the same gift. See? So Paul is trying to, remember now, what he's concerned about here. The big problem in that church is high-mindedness. There's pride. There's, well, if I could be Billy Graham, I'd say, well, look at me. You know, when I use the gift I have, look at the people that come to Jesus. That Strickland's over there, he didn't do anything. I mean, he's, does he anything? You know? I mean, you see what begins to happen? There's pride. And he say, no, you don't seem to understand. The whole triune Godhead is involved here. Not just the Holy Spirit, not just Jesus, but God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Fernando, good to have you back, brother.
Amen. I see the whole thing. We all have different potential.
Yes.
We keep it for ourselves and we do nothing with it.
Yes.
We can pray to God to help us to use that potential that we have. It's not that come like a gift from heaven straight to us. But I see the whole thing, the way you put it beautiful, when Jesus Christ was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit came straight from heaven
right.
to him.
Right.
He said he was baptized in the Spirit. And Jesus passed to us, I'm going to bring you and leave him and bring you the helper.
Yes.
And the whole thing is had to do with God the Father, for the glory of the Father and right. the glory of his Son.
Yes.
The only Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the body of Jesus Christ, the way they put it, the body of Jesus Christ, the church to grow for glory of
right.
his Son.
Exactly right. So this is why, you know, again, keeping in mind how there's a difference in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit's not nothing new. I mean, Holy Spirit just didn't pop in the New Testament. Holy Spirit was working already in the Old Testament, but how he worked was different. The Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals for tasks in leadership and abilities and so forth. Something about the Holy Spirit coming and going. And yeah, in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. And you realize now in the Old Testament, David would even say, you know, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, sort of like he would zap and then he would be gone again. But that's how the Holy Spirit worked. In Joel 2:28, when it makes the promise of the Holy Spirit, and we realize in Ezekiel and then again in Jeremiah, when it talks about, you know, the newness of what's going to happen later on, now the Holy Spirit was going to come, and he would come, and he would be bouncing around. I mean, he would come, and he would be influencing and impacting the lives of people. That's what Pentecost was all about. So again, when you keep in mind Pentecost, so now you're in the New Testament and the fulfillment of this promise presence of the Holy Spirit. And you know, keep some things in mind. You know, sometimes I throw a lot of stuff at you, but I wish I just had a quick verse here. But in Ezekiel, I'm going to say, if I can find the right one, I want to keep saying 26, 36, whatever it is.
36.
36. There it is. 36. There it goes. So you look at this, and it says, he says here, 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. There's something different here. It isn't just the Holy Spirit out here. It's now the Holy Spirit within you. Okay? Now, when you understand something about Pentecost, keep in mind now, Pentecost is the historical fulfillment of that promise happening in history. But now when you keep in mind with Pentecost, we often just log it in on, you know, Acts chapter 2, and that was Pentecost. But you've got to remember, Pentecost is an event in which it impacted the Jew, Samaria, Gentile, you know, everyone. So when you read the book of Acts, you see the Holy Spirit coming in chapter 2, predominantly with the Jews. Then all of a sudden, Philip goes out to Samaria in Acts chapter 8, and lo and behold, here, you know, something's going on with these Samaritans. And who has to come over there to kind of straighten all out here or make sure it's done right? It's Peter. So Peter's spokesman here. Now Peter comes over there and he baptizes these people. And the next thing you know, in chapter 10 of Acts, something else happens. Who calls for Peter? A guy named Cornelius. And all of here comes Cornelius. And here, you know, Paul has to run over there. Paul's kind of, you know, uptight about this whole thing because this guy's a Gentile. But then he has to defend himself. You know, he brings a bunch of his, you know, his Jewish brothers along with him, because in chapter 11, he now is in front of all his other Jewish Christian friends who are saying, well, what are you doing in that house of a Gentile? I mean, they still had these barriers, but here comes Peter and says, what could I do? Man, I mean, I'm preaching, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon these people, and they're speaking in tongues and doing all this kind of same stepping stuff that happened to us over here. How could I not baptize them? I mean, this is what he says. So Pentecost is the event, the Holy Spirit comes, but he comes almost like in three phases. nothing different. He's just basically saying that message of the gospel. Jesus said it right at the beginning. When the Holy Spirit comes, power is given to you. You'll be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. And the Holy Spirit comes. Each one of those settings, see? So I say that to you because, you know, some churches, Christian denominations and stuff, they say, well, look at that. Here was Pentecost. And Holy Spirit was poured out. Well, I got news for you. You know, Samaritans, later on, you know, they had to ask for the Holy Spirit too, you know? And now these Gentiles, they had to ask for the Holy Spirit too. So I guess Jesus becomes Savior, and then the next thing you know, you have to keep asking for the Holy Spirit. No, I'm saying, no, that's not the way it is. The way it is that it's one great big event, but making sure we understand. It's not three different churches that got started. One church consists of Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles, all fit together. The Holy Spirit brings them all together. And that's the impact of the Holy Spirit. Fernando?
The word Pentecost, Kukran, is a feast.
It's a feast.
They have every year.
Harvest
and
feast.
People from all over the area
right.
Get together. That's the reason that God brought the Holy Spirit there
right.
With God's word.
Right.
The way it happened, that way everybody understands in their own language the message from God.
Right, right. But you have to remember that it wasn't just for the Jewish people, it was for Gentile whole world. See, but this was the issue in the early church. There was a real uptightness about that because the whole view of the early church was here. Came to the Jews, and the Jewish people still had this mindset, even though they were Christians, they had this mindset that when God worked, God comes and he deals with the Jew, and for non-Jews to become Christians, they had to become Jews. And what was the symbol of being a Jew?
Circumcision.
Keeping the law, you know, boom, 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 boom. And this is why Paul got in so much hot water, because Paul is saying, no, that's not what it's about. No, it's not what it's about. You know, Jesus fulfilled that. But now, this is why I love Ephesians chapter 2, because Ephesians chapter 2 basically tells you that Jesus broke down the walls of partition, the dividing wall that divide us. And what was that great barrier between Jew and Gentile? Read it yourself. Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 4, 15. It's the law. It was the law. See? So now, here's Paul, and he's wanting to make sure that, you know, we're not dividing God into all little segments either. He says, look, there's one, God, when you look at spiritual gifts, it's the same Spirit, okay? But in the workings of it, where the Holy Spirit works, it's Jesus Christ decides that. You know, he's the Lord. He decides where these gifted people are going to be used. And God has the results. Amazing. Okay? Right here, Jeff.
If I could paraphrase what Paul was saying here, it's not complicated as you make it. It's really very simple.
Right.
God is the liberal giver of his gifts.
Absolutely.
And he gives different gifts.
Right.
Yes, there's differences. I am very different than you.
Right.
You are very different than me. There is great diversity because we're all different.
Right.
But yet God is in all of us. And yet, here's the mystery. We are all one.
That's right.
Called the church.
In Christ. That's the beautiful thing of it. Absolutely. Let's look at the next question here, okay? So kind of work out here. So how are the gifts distinct from service and from workings? You explain to me. How are the gifts different from service and from workings? Can't have you answering all the questions here, Rich. Okay, that's all right. Anybody else? Anybody else do their homework here besides Rich? Okay.
It's very interesting. It's all the same Lord. It's the same Lord. Same Holy Spirit.
Right.
And there comes our gifts and
okay.
The difference that we have.
All right. Rich, go ahead. I want to hear what you got.
Well, the difference is if the working is the result of what's going on, and as you shared, like Graham did,
right?
It's the results and the impact that
yes.
you have on your situation. That's
right. See, when you see that gifts are the specific Holy Spirit endowed capacity or functions that we have. Service is the sphere of ministry where this gift is going to be used. Workings is the impact. It's the effect. See? And I often think about this again. I look at myself and I think, well, you know, if you have me with a bunch of junior hires, which I used to do a little bit of, but junior hires working in the church, man, I'd be all thumbs. I mean, that is not the place. These are pre-people. You know that. Junior hires are pre-people. Well, it would be very difficult for me to handle junior high kids. Praise God, there are guys like yourself and your wives and so forth. Man, junior hires, man, those are the ones that they just really love to be involved with, either teaching or whatever. So we may all have, I may have the same gift as that person in teaching, you know, but that sphere, that's not my avenue at all. And then the impact of it, and I think about, so here I'm going to be teaching high school kids, and they look at me and they think, oh man, what's that guy doing up there? But he's Steve Solomon up there. Man, I mean, Steve Solomon's got him jumping down the aisles and, man, doing all kinds of stuff. Well, that's his area, God's impact using him. That's the wonder of the church with its different giftedness, you see? Don't quote me on that, okay? I can see rumors going around already.
Well, that's because Steve Solomon's still in high school.
You know what, I think you're right. He still looks like a kid. I mean, he's on that surfboard all the time. I mean, what are we paying him for that? Go ahead, Rich.
What I really enjoy is Sunday morning after harvest is when we go down to church and just walk down the hallway and look in all the classrooms.
Oh, and it is absolutely incredible.
Families in there, I mean, husbands and wives.
That's right.
We're teaching our children.
Now.
And you just look at the rooms. I just bring such a smile to my
it
face
does.
To see that these people are engaged. And
yep.
Parents are giving of their time and talents to go in there and make an impact.
Exactly right. See, now, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the church. But you know what I just keep coming back to? What has to be there, if anything like this takes place within the church, there has to be a servant attitude. It does have to be a servant attitude. And the sad thing is, a lot, I find this a lot within the church, you know, we look at this, we marvel, this is wonderful, but a lot of times we kind of sit back and say, well, not me, you know, it just takes too much time, you know, and I got other things I've got to take care of. That's why you've got to come back to Romans chapter 12, begin with verse 1. After all this amazing gifted story of gospel, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by what?
The mercies
of God. Then what does he say? Present your bodies living sacrifice. Now, he doesn't say, you know, what would happen if a sacrifice is laid on the altar, and the next thing you know, the sacrifice says, I ain't going to be here, man, I'm out of here, you know? I mean, kind of, you know, sacrifices are supposed to be on the altar and then presented to the Lord. But the sad thing is, for many of us, you know, we'll choose what we want to get involved in, as long as it doesn't mess me up too much, and I hate commitments, you know.
Don't send
to Ethiopia.
Don't send to Ethiopia.
Listen, that's right, but it takes commitment, doesn't it? I mean, it takes commitment. And if there's not a sense of commitment, and think about this now, that's why Paul uses the body as an illustration. If this hand is not attached in the sense of being committed to the rest of this body, I can't rely on it. The whole body cannot rely on this hand, which is very important. There's got to be commitment. Dick, you had a comment.
Yeah. No, somebody one time told me one of the clear things that I understood was the gifts were not given by the Holy Spirit competition.
Excellent.
Or accomplishment.
Excellent.
Really, you know, I've seen both sides of the fence.
Yes.
I tend to think that there are some people that it's competition.
Yep.
And you know, there are such things as
yes.
keeping score of how
oh,
many
boy.
People I saved.
Oh, yes. And we often can get very jealous, you know, I mean, good grief, that big Graham, good grief, man, he gets all the credit and everything like that. And I mean, you can sit around there and, you know, envy this man who God is using, and God is saying, well, to you, why don't you just serve me the way you're supposed to, Howard?
I just wanted to assist you on the lesson of commitment. My father taught me, think about a breakfast of ham and eggs. Chicken is involved, but the pig is committed.
that ham meant that pig got committed. I have to agree with you. That's very good. Okay, that's the difference between the chicken and the egg. Okay, go ahead, Derek.
One of the things that you had talked about with competition, because we're human, I think that we have that challenge is that we start comparing and
yes.
So in the analogy that he used of Billy Graham coming and saving thousands versus him hundreds versus somebody else maybe tens, I think the part that's really important to recognize is are you serving God where he wants you to be?
Very good.
And rather than necessarily
very good.
You know, counting these things up,
very good.
It's because you might be, I mean, like me, I'm a pinky toe on the bottom of a foot, right? And somebody else might be an eye, somebody else might be an ear, and somebody else might be a hand. But that doesn't mean, as long as it's going to the glory of God and for his purpose, as long as you're serving and to him, you know, it doesn't mean that you're higher or lower or whatever it is in his view. You're
exactly.
just to serve him and do what he asks you to do.
That's very good. I often think of that last chapter in the Gospel of John where Peter has been reinstituted, invited, you know, as far as ministry with Jesus concerned. And then, so here Jesus and John and Paul, Jesus and Peter are walking along the shore over there, and then Jesus tells him, Peter, this is what you're going to be going through. You know, you're going to face some pretty times in your life. So Peter, trucking along over there, and looks across his shoulder, and he looks at John over there, and he says, well, what about him? And Jesus looks at him and says, well, what is that to you? You know, just serve me. I mean, I think about that. I think that's often the way we are. We're kind of looking around. We say, well, what about him? You know, Jesus is saying, knock it off. Keep your eye on me. You just do what I'm telling you to do. You know, serve me. Okay? Yes.
Are we like Abraham where we want to take Isaac off the altar?
I don't see Abraham wanting to take Isaac off the altar. He laid him on the altar, and because
right.
he believed that God would raise him from the dead, it was God who supplied him with a. So
right.
I don't see the analogy
there. Well, he had a
choice
to make there, though.
Well, yeah, but he did. That was not even the issue of a choice with Abraham. I mean, he basically did it because. That was very important.
Yeah, but I mean, we not supposed to go on the altar and not take ourselves off?
Well, that's what I would say with Romans chapter 12:1. Now, we are a living sacrifice, not dead, but living. So make yourself available to the Lord. That is your choice. God isn't forcing you to serve him. That's your choice. But you've got to keep some things in mind. Now, you know, it's not legalism, but you've got to remember, one day we do stand before the Lord. Not in the sense of condemnation, whether you have salvation or not. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:1. But it does tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You say, well, what? I thought that there's no condemnation. No. As believers, he's also going to say, you know, I gave you some gifts or some talents. Didn't I give you five? What did you do with them? Well, Lord, I buried them all. I knew you were, you know, I just figured, thanks for the gifts. But anyway, I don't want to commit myself too much. And then Jesus is going to say, man, am I disappointed in you? That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It just basically says, you know, come on. Mike.
Yeah, in like John 15:5, when he says, abide in me, I in you, and
yes.
you will bear much fruit.
Bear much fruit.
We don't produce the fruit.
That's
the
right.
Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ
Absolutely.
Gives us the gift of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
He then manifests that fruit.
That's right.
We are just a branch. We
That's
just
right.
bear it.
That's right. That's right.
As the Christian, we just yes. bear it. The fruit that we produce,
That's
or
right.
we go to Ethiopia,
That's
or
right.
at my workplace,
right.
I am to witness Christ working,
That's
dwelling
right.
in my life to others around me.
You just keep doing what you're supposed to do, see?
Abiding.
And you're getting the results up to God. I mean, He's still one. Okay.
Because my physical conditions, I thought I was finished. I said, I'm going to retire. I told my wife, I'm going to stop functioning for a while. She said, no, let's go keep on. And I came to church looking for Theodore, and I went to Ambassador. I see a young man over there. I didn't recognize him, but he knew me. And he came to me, and he said, I'm going to speak today over here. They give me a chance, I'm going to preach. And I said, who are you? He said, I used to go with you to Mexico.
Oh my goodness.
And then I was so happy. I feel the Spirit on me.
Yes.
And I say, hey, you're going to take my place.
Okay,
and
very
you're
good.
Gonna do what
so you just
you
passed the mantle on to that
fine,
guy.
Fine,
he didn't even realize it. Oh my God.
And then I find, and the way out, I finally get, I was limping, my wife was helping me. I finally get, she starts singing. How hard is to get up in the morning, how much I have to remember. I remember it was in Mexico because I was in charge. We stayed the whole week over there.
Yeah.
They had to get up. He said, I still singing that song.
Okay, see?
Wow. Then it came to my mind.
Right.
She still remember Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in her heart.
Right.
And that gave me more.
That's right. You needed to hear that again.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that.
See, that's good.
The next day I came back to church, I said, I have to go to church more often.
You see, that's right. You've been hanging out in your bedroom too long.
Yeah. I found that the mother, he said, Fernando, she wait for me, and I go over there, and I was limping, take my time. I'm so happy what you told my son. He's all over.
That's
it's all in the Bible that says he's going to do what Fernando said.
That's right. All right. See?
It's not me. It's Jesus.
That's exactly right. Right. So
don't
hide those gifts anymore. Okay?
I think maybe something that we haven't brought up is that the voice or the longing to do these gifts should come from within.
There you go.
And
there you go. Not because you have to.
Outside or responsibility.
There you go.
Learn to
right.
listen to that and
That's
to
right.
respond to
yeah.
what to do.
Absolutely. That's good. Let me bring a picture in your heart.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I was just going to add it. And the joy of all this is when you are really involved in the gift that God has given
yes.
you, it is absolutely indescribable.
It is. Absolutely right.
You couldn't
You're right.
Carol
That's
and
right.
I to do the work that we do at John or somebody
yes.
to do chaplain work.
Absolutely.
Grieving people, whatever. You just couldn't give us that money.
You got it.
There's no attachment.
That's exactly right.
Remuneration.
That's right.
Because you see by your hand.
Yes.
Not being improper when I say this.
Yes.
I'm saying as an instrument of God.
Oh yes.
That I'm accomplishing His
yes.
purposes.
Yes. Oh, I agree with you.
In the
That's right. The amazing thing is, you know, for you to make yourself available and see God do some things. It's humbling. It is absolutely humbling. Okay, I got to keep a couple going. Okay.
I'm going to ask a question. Maybe it's been answered and I just didn't figure it out. But gifts are what God gives us, really, right? And then service would be what we are to do. Whether we do or not, we still have the gift. And it's our choice to serve.
Well, let's put it this way. Yeah. We are created for the function. Here, let's just understand something here. When you look at Ephesians chapter 2, you know, we love to quote verses 8 and 9, but you got to bring in verse 10 as well. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, and it says, verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, okay? Not by works, lest anyone should boast. For, now, I'm going to understand, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, Now get this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So the point is, yes, we all have been called to serve. That comes with the territory. When we sign up with Jesus, we're here to serve, okay? And that comes, now the giftedness helps you to understand in what area, where is the best place to serve. So when you look at these things, you know, there's the giftedness, this is my area, or I should say this is the function. Jesus then determines the area, God gives the results. Now, just a couple quickies over here. We got to finish this section here, or aren't you going to say, man, another year in this chapter? Okay, now.
I'm good with that.
Are you okay with that?
No. I'm good with that. Amen.
How do you differentiate between spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit? Question B. How do you differentiate between gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit?
It's the results of the gifts.
It's a result of the gifts. Okay, talk to me more.
When the spirits are exercised, then your benefit is having the fruit of the Spirit, with joy, peace, patience.
Okay, so you see some connections there. Okay, I can buy that. But there is a difference now, okay? Go ahead.
I'm too simple. I just see a circle. What's given to me, what's done with it, and the reflection of what's done back to God.
Okay, I like that. I still want to deal with a little more. Go ahead.
Fruit is the living out of the gift. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it had not yielded any fruit.
Okay.
So it was dead, basically. So the life of the living, the life
okay.
of the gift
All right.
is the fruit.
Remember the analogy I gave last time? There's two different kinds of trees. The gifts is a reflection of like a Christmas tree. You've got gifts in them. Wow, that's beautiful. Look at them. All the beautiful gifts and all the. But it doesn't tell you what kind of tree it is. It's the fruit tree to show you what kind of tree it is. So when you think about the fruit are being qualities. Gifts are doing qualities. Fruit are attitudes. Gifts are aptitudes. This is what you do. This is who you are. Now, fruit is the byproduct of a healthy walk with God. The gifts are supernatural abilities given to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, I appreciate your comments here and saying, you know, when I exercise my gifts, you know, it really enhances, you know, the life within me. I concur with that wholeheartedly. But I wanted you to see the distinction, because sometimes we get so caught up with the gifts. In other words, here are some questions. Just quickies here. Now, I know I got to quit here, but look at question number D. I have two falses over here. True or false? This is number D. The more important the spiritual gifts, the more mature and spiritual the person. True or false? How many say true?
Could you read it again?
You got it in front of you right there. You've got it right there, don't you? You've got your lesson with you there, Jeff?
He didn't do his homework.
Oh, he didn't do his homework. Okay, the more important the spiritual gift, the more mature and spiritual is the person. That's false. Second question. We must ask God for the spiritual gift we want. It's given.
You mean it's not a buffet?
Yeah, it's obey when you've got it. Do it. See? That's the obeying part.
A buffet.
Okay, a buffet.
No, it's not a buffet that you
No, it's not.
You're...
Now, you know, watch out for that one, because there are going to be those who are going to quote, and we'll get to this later on, quote this very last verse of chapter 12. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. You're going to say, well, eagerly desire means you've got to ask for it. No, he's basically saying, watch out, and we'll get into chapter 13 to understand what really is the important thing is your spiritual maturity, is your growth. And the greatest of that is love. Your faith, hope, love. So we'll talk about that. Question, the third one. In church meetings, only the pastor should teach, because he's usually the one with seminary training.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be true.
That's true.
I hope you're not going to degrade all that seminary training that I had. Okay? Again, that's false. Okay? It's not, doesn't qualify. I mean, I'm, I have nothing against education, boy. I'm glad I did it. But it doesn't, that doesn't mean that, you know, he's the only one that could can do this. Now, last one. Some people are more important than others in church because they're more effective. The answer is false. See? But you see how we tend to want to do that. Now, granted, you know, we look at someone who's very effective in a certain area, we certainly want to utilize that person, but that doesn't make him more important or better than anyone else. So, kind of get a feel of that, okay? So then I was jumped back to see that I would have concluded with that. From verse 7, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts and who has them? What is the purpose of spiritual? Verse 7, read it.
Common good.
Common good. Spiritual gifts are not there for yourself or for, you know, well, look what I do. No, no, it's you utilize your giftedness for the common good. That's why when people say, well, you know, I have a personal relationship with the Lord and the heck with the rest of the church. There's all a bunch of hypocrites in there anyway, so, you know, why should I be a part of the church? Well, the problem with that is you don't seem to understand what the church is. The church, the body of Christ. See? The body of Christ. And I have giftedness to be used for the common good. I'm not a lone ranger Christian out there. Okay? I got to close around there, but you notice they're just flaking out on me right then right. I have to close. I have to close.
Yeah. The whole thing you say is for the edification.
I have no authority.
The whole thing is for edification.
Edification. That's for common good. Edification. All right, great. Let's close.
Don't go.
Spiritual people are saying.
I noticed that, yes. Okay. I better pray or else I'm going to really have a riot on my hands here. Precious Father, we want to say thank you so much just for our of learning and listening and teaching and sharing and. Oh, gracious God, we're so humbled by the fact that you would, by your Holy Spirit, entrust us and enable us to be a part of your ministry. Lord, we're humbled by that. And yet, Lord, here we are. We're your body. And Lord, parts of us, I mean, each of us have a different part to play in the functioning of your body. Lord, thank you for that. And we pray that we just may continue to affirm each other, bless each other, encourage each other, and see each other in terms of our blessedness to the whole body. Father, thank you. Go with us now and let us be who you call us to be. Let us do what you call us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thanks, God.